Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But please don't call. Please don't call unless we ask for calls, because right now we have with us Patrick Wood from the August Foundation, August Review, and we're going to be talking about this whole internationalist movement. Now, many years ago, Patrick Wood worked with our good friend, Professor Anthony Sutton, and writing books about the Trilateral Commission. This small clique of very wealthy and powerful men who want to bring about a world government under their control, and they've been working at this in the early 1970s under the auspices of the Zbigniew Brzezinski and David Rockefeller. And these are some of the most powerful men in the world. They have a plan, and Barry Goldwater laid this out very, very clearly in his book, With No Apologies. He talked about how they were going to control the finances of the world by first gaining control of the American government and having their people planted in our government. And then, of course, they were going to control the ecclesiastic, that means the churches, the political, the financial aspects of society. And eventually their plan was to rule the future. And that is exactly what is going on today. And when you hear about all these big international conferences, believe me, the representatives of the Trilateral Commission are there controlling and manipulating the leaders of the world. And with that as a background, Patrick Wood, thank you so very much for being with us.
You're welcome, Dr. Stan. Glad to be on the show again.
Well, tell us what the latest things are in this the internationalist plan to control our lives and to rule the future.
Well, the biggest story, I think, still, Dr. Stan, is concerns the North American Union that a lot of being talked about a lot today, at least in alternative media. It's not being talked about much in mainstream media yet, but the fact that that President Bush is attempting to create a North American Union without congressional approval or public approval is just absolutely monumental in the march towards globalization. And there are some congressmen now who are standing up in our Senate and Congress demanding to have some explanation on what's going on with this so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership that Bush has going right now with the President of Mexico and also the Premier of Canada. And it's interesting that the White House spokesman, Tony Snow, recently was asked about this SPP, this Security and Prosperity Partnership, if Bush was trying to implement, something like a European Union here in America, and he categorically denied it, said absolutely not, it's just an innocuous thing, whatever.
But that's exactly what they told the people over in Europe.
That's exactly right.
They lied to them. Why should we believe anything that a presidential spokesman says? I mean,
that's right.
These people are paid to lie, not to tell the truth.
Yep.
And the American people don't want to give up our sovereignty, but there are people within the elite who do.
Yes. And we, our motto is, and has been for a long time, watch what they do, not what they say. And so we're watching what we watch what they're doing, and we see exactly what they're doing, because enough of a paper trail has been left for us to observe. And very clearly what they're doing is making an end run. That is, the administration is making an end run around the Congress and around the people of the United States to create a new North American Union between Mexico, Canada, and the United States that will supersede the sovereignty of the United States that we've known and enjoyed all our lives.
And I think most people cannot imagine what it would be if this Constitution was simply suspended as sort of on a temporary basis, like they suspended the Bretton Woods Agreement back in 1971. Just temporary, you understand, but never revitalized. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Patrick Wood of the August Review, and Patrick's been around for a long time studying this move towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. Many years ago, he was a good friend and worked with our friend Anthony Sutton, who actually lived in Santa Cruz for many years, and we got to know him there. And when did you start working with Anthony?
Gosh, it was in 1978, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine.
It was like just a few days ago, but it was a long time ago.
Was he still living in Santa Cruz at that time?
Yes, he was living in Aptos, actually.
Right,
at the time, which is close by.
Right, and of course we'd gotten to know him, and of course you got to know him, and you wrote a book. What was the title of that?
It was called Trilaterals Over Washington.
And of course,
he actually wrote two volumes of it.
And at that time, most people thought this was crazy talk. People who control the wealth and the corporations and the banking interests of America, but they do, don't they? And they have all along.
Looking back, because, you know, 25 years has gone by, time to history now, we can go back and look a little more objectively now that there's quite a body of information and stuff. What members of the trilateral, that is, create a new economic world order. They have done exactly that, and it has been done exactly according to the writings and policies that they set forth in those early years, like 1973 to 1975, and we see the fruits of it today.
And, of course, they put their people in as chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, and Paul Volcker, who was there, I don't know when he came to power, but sometime in the 70s, you know, from the Trilateral Commission, and, of course, he went back division of the time when he left in 1987, they brought in. In other words, they put their men that are designed. See, I mean, the Federal Reserve is supposed to get, and of course, place to destroy the currency. Stability of a nation.
Yes, indeed. I don't know if you
chance to see it. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay, but that leads in exactly. The reason I sent it to you is a little news snippet on theaugustreview.com entitled, Is the U.S. Bankrupt? And this pertains, and I was talking specifically about thinking about our currency, and a lot of the unanswered questions as to what's going on with our currency. And
hold that right there, Patrick. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. At Radio Liberty, our guest is Patrick. And Patrick's been around for a long time. Back and forth. You know, we had... Oh, well, 26, 27 years, trying to wake up what's going on. A small clique controls both political parties, controls the finances of our nation. They know exactly what they're doing, but they can people know that a small group of people already, of course, controls our finances, controls our central bank, controls the majority of our corporations, and as a result, are able to determine and to use our wealth and our military power. What they're doing, isn't it?
Yes. And the members of this group have dominated, of course, as you mentioned, both politically, have dominated the executive branch of the U.S. government since 1976 with the election of James Earl Carter. And they've dominated the executive branch ever since, and all the way along the way, they've accumulated power to themselves, sometimes by executive order, sometimes by other means. And today, the executive branch apparently feels that it's so powerful that it can simply just make an end run around our Congress and around the people of the United States to just go ahead and do with impunity what they want to do. They're not even asking for advice and consent from our own Congress right now.
And of course, one of the things you mentioned a little earlier was the fact that they want to do away with our Constitution. They want to form a North American community we will join together the governments of Mexico and Canada and the United States into just one big happy world, and we'll have, you know, ready movements across the border. We'll have not immigration, but migration, and we can begin to combine our economies, our various functions of government, in just as they have exactly in Europe. But we can't let the American people know, can we?
That's right. The American people are getting they're getting cooked like the frog in a pan of water. They're asleep. They're numbed into complacency, and they're just basically believing the pap that the government's putting out to them. But getting Dr. Stan over the wall right now. It's a section of the wall ahead. Now it's everywhere. Danger signs are popping up, and I asked me one time, I think recently on a show, you know, how much time, months, there will be some major activity take place in our economy. Back then, who knows, you make a projection, you just kind of guess at it sometimes, but there's been some new information come out just that is absolutely spectacular. That comes in the form of a report that appeared, that actually was posted to the public website, but was never picked up by the press, of course. The title of the report, written by Lawrence Kotlikoff, is, quote, "Is the U.S. Bankrupt?"
And, of course, this is written for the St. Louis branch of the Federal Reserve System, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And he's been a prominent economist with the Fed for many years. He has at least 355 papers that I could find that have been published by the various Feds over the years. He's a prominent economist. He's a professor of economics at Boston University. He's been around for a long time, and he's very authoritative in his research and in his speaking. And he concludes at the end of his report, countries can, this is a quote, countries can and do go bankrupt. The U.S. with a $65.9 trillion fiscal gap seems clearly headed down that path. Close quote. 23-page report, by the way, and I wouldn't want to denigrate, but that was his conclusion from the research he offers. He's just clearly headed down the path of bankruptcy, and even urgently so.
This is where he's talking about the money that we promised to pay out for Medicare, which we don't have, the money which we promised to pay out for Social Security, which we don't have. And he's talking about $65, $67 trillion debt.
That's exactly right. What he's saying, the gap that we, between what we owe now and in the future versus what we have now and in the future, is $65.9 trillion. That's five times the U.S. domestic product and is twice as large as our entire national wealth.
Now, when, of course, is this whole house of cards beginning to collapse?
What he's saying is that it's collapsing right now under our nose, uh-huh, essentially. But imagine a Ben Bernanke going to, you know, to do his monthly congressional thing, little testimony, getting up and saying something like, quote, "The U.S. is clearly headed towards bankruptcy, folks." I mean, the group he is talking to would panic and get up and go sell their stocks. It's unbelievable that they would want this to be a public. This apparently more. And here we have the banking. They know this is bankrupt. You and I have known it for some time. They're saying it now. They're acknowledging it. And the question, beyond just the question of they're acknowledging it, we know they're thinking about it. The question is, what are they going to do about it to protect their investment?
Well, didn't he have a couple of suggestions like cutting security and Medicare liability by two-thirds? What did he suggest?
Actually, he did make some suggestions at this, you know, some recommendations, like any good economist would, at the end of his paper. But the recommendations were more or less just follow-up, and anything he talked about was politically unacceptable in any case. It never would get through our Congress. It would never get through the people either. The baby boomers that are just coming of age now are not about just to be told summarily that they're only going to get 20% of their pension, you know, their Social Security for the rest of their life. That's not going to wash. It would create a revolution within our country in a heartbeat. But they are apparently taking immediate action. I think they have recently taken action to protect their investment and to prepare for this coming currency collapse, which is by, you know, kind of by default predicted by America going bankrupt. The American dollar as a reserve currency will be out the window, absolutely out the window. Dollar-denominated investments basically are going to get hurt really bad. Stock market, bonds, stocks, real estate, whatever. Our economy is, what this is saying essentially is that our economy is in jeopardy.
See, I have actually interviewed this time ago. But where can our listeners get
I just posted this on my website, Dr. Stan, and it's under the news commentary section, which of you know the navigation.
They can get your web
augustreview.com, and most important, a link within that article to the original article that Kotlikoff wrote, that he wrote in November of 2005, and. Go get the article and read it yourself. It's 23 pages, but, you know, if you can read and you want to get it right from the horse's mouth, go read him, what he's saying. It's absolutely spectacular.
All right, and I think it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that you check out and try to prove...
prove me wrong, please.
You don't want to believe this.
I don't want to believe it. I don't.
And the average... and get bad news. We didn't care about you, we wouldn't tell you the truth. Tell you, just make you when you come. You don't want to hear the message. We're sinners. We're in real trouble. And if it weren't for the cross, why, we wouldn't have any hope at all of salvation. No, we want to hear how good people we are. Good of the economy is. Everything's going to keep going the way it is. But it isn't true, is it?
Not true at all. Not true at all. And I'm not offering any suggestions in my article about what people should do investment-wise and stuff, because I'm not an investment advisor and there are people smarter than I in that area. But, we can make some very astute observations as how the Federal Reserve companies around the world their rear ends, becomes obvious now that the Fed has 17th consecutive straight time, June 29th, 2006, an unprecedented raise in interest rates. This has the effect of withdrawing currency and credit from the economy. Capacity because the reserves are shrinking. The Federal Reserve has a policy in place for quite some time now to withdraw credit from the economy. The second thing is interesting, Dr. Stan. We puzzled one time about why Henry Paulson was immediately nominated to be Secretary of Treasury when John Snow announced he was. The same day President Bush and also, just incidentally, the highest paid executive on Wall Street with $38 million a year salary. Hot core of the international Brown Brothers Harriman, with Lehman Brothers, Kuhn Love, and other investment banks of that characteristic. Why would a guy like Henry Paulson give up a $40 million a year job to take a paltry salary at the Department of Treasury, even if it's ahead of the Treasury?
I think he's going to get about $140,000.
Exactly, and I think this question can be almost definitively answered now. That he is the global banking representative that's being sent into our Treasury Department to probably to help mitigate or manage the bankruptcy of the U.S. dollar.
And I think
he's the man that can do it.
And of course, what's happening increasingly throughout the rest of the world is that countries are beginning to turn away from the dollar. Oil and natural gas producer in the world. Where they people can buy their oil and gas not based upon a basket of other currencies. We will hold true with Iran is the United States. But of course, even nation is dependent upon the stability of the currency, and we're a bankrupt nation. get this article. Find out it's really you begin trying to protect yourself. Versus Patrick review. And Patrick, once again, I want you to tell our listeners, get to your website and get
Markov. His name, yes, the writer, the author. Odd name, but Kotlikoff, Kotlikoff. And I have a link on it in my article, which is at www.augustreview.com. And then click on news link on the left side of the page, and in this, you'll see the article. The only way that I was alerted to this article initially was that there was a reference to it. A short article was written by one of the editors, staff editors, at the London Telegraph. Even though this weekend, it was... apparently he had just discovered it.
Well, the last thing they want is for the American people to... I mean, certainly everything has to be done in secret. We can't let the foolish public understand what's...
This paper clearly was more for an... or they would have made it known to the public, releases and stuff like that, to, you know... That's typically what they do with most paper that has to do with... sent out there with, so you know, even if somebody's watching, passed over it and didn't bother to you know.
Well, I said, yeah, I think it's really during this past week I've been hearing about this, and we got hold of, had the professor passed and talking about this very, well, how could this possibly be? We've got a Social Security fund, we've got a trust fund, the politicians tell us, and you, trust fund. He's not going to tell you though that it's all in one drawer, and it consists of a number of IOUs from the government. The promises to pay, but the government doesn't have any money to pay with. And I think that is no money other than what it takes from us by force. It doesn't have any savings, does it?
Well, no. Our savings used to be in the form of a national gold store. Which, you know, by and large was confiscated from the American people in the 1940s. And, that gold store was all put in Fort Knox, nice and tidy little piles. And, there, history audit of Fort Knox. Nobody knows what was in there. The government refuses to do an audit. One man spent 15 years with audit of Fort Knox and failed. Who he is from Ohio, and the best guess that the New York Federal Reserve branch.
And of course, there is at the Federal Reserve Bank dollars in gold, and when you hear the one, it's not being picked up and moved to another. It's being picked up on one pallet and moved to another pallet there in the basement of this central Federal Reserve Bank in New York City. And that's all covered in certainly in our syllabus and talk on the financial tsunami.
Exactly.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're back here with from the August Review. And Patrick's on, we've been talking about the bankruptcy of the United States, and written an article for the St. Louis branch of the Federal Reserve pointing out that we're bankrupt. But of course, the American people can't know that. They my goodness, we've got all these weapons, but we're also to other nations, but to our own people, because we promised them all these things. The retirement, we promised them that. Then we spent all that money that was paid in that would have allowed the system to work, and it's simply all been spent on Doggles, and of course we've got some of the happiest congressmen and legislators in the whole world right in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you can say.
I like to say, congressman, the money, Senate, they get family, they get all sorts of goodies, they get a pension for life, get good paying corporations that they've helped, or, you know, there are all sorts of a book, and as Alan Greenspan for writing a book, and he's not even going to write it.
And probably not. There's probably only one solution from our monetary, if our Congress were to take back the power to issue currency in this country, disband the Fed, which has been done to central banks, funding of the Fed, by the way, our Congress has the power to take up and put down. They could disband the Fed if they chose. It's a constitutional requirement to manage the money and issue the currency of this country and do it themselves on behalf of the American people. We could survive with that kind of a system and probably would do very well.
Well, of course, they did that in 1811. And the central bank collapsed the economy and, of course, it bankrupted our people. They collapsed the system. And the bank today, they would collapse our economy. They control the wealth.
We have to take it very quickly from them on the door about the same day. Just like letting an unruly employee go, you know, you don't give him 2 weeks' notice. You escort him to the door and you take his pass key on the way out.
But of course, the thing is, the Federal Reserve System was established to preserve a stable currency and the value of the dollar. And they've devalued the dollar over the last, almost 90 years. About 98%.
Mm-hmm. And now we're just about to end of it where the whole thing is going to collapse. There will be a new system offered to the American people as soon as the crisis of the American dollar hits.
And then they're probably going to blame the wicked of the American people or the irresponsibility of the folks because we haven't been saving enough.
That's right. And we've been a nation of consumers. We have not been a nation of savers for probably the last 30 to 40 years. Not only is our government bankrupt, but most of our people are bankrupt, and they, you know, they really don't realize it. They're still solvent. To be bankrupt, just anybody else.
But of course, we're also more than spiritually bankrupt. This is the big problem.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That lies at the base. Of people in our country. There's a great deadness and a great what would you call it? The spread across our country in the last 30 to 40 years.
Well, now of course you have been studying the Trilateral Commission since shortly after by David Rockefeller and Zygmunt Brzezinski back in 1970. And of course, they had tremendous power over every branch of our government, haven't they?
Starting with James Earl Carter, and Zbigniew Brzezinski has written about Jimmy Carter to run for office. He groomed him, he tutored him, funded him. They launched his political campaign. Directly were responsible in 1976. He subsequently brought a third of the members of the U.S. membership of the Trilateral Government into his administration. In top positions, like cabinet positions and top agency positions and stuff. And that started the dynasty of members of the Trilateral.
I've forgotten that George Herbert Walker Bush came from the Trilateral Commission.
He was also a member of the Trilateral Commission. He did the same thing, brought many people into the government, members of the Trilateral Commission. And it's important to note, a public organization, they have dominated the Fed. The U.S. executive.
So the real man. And named Dick Cheney, and guess where he came from? Hey, man, we'll be right back here. Well, you're not going to hear. Well, this is Dr. Stone. Be true. Oh, come on now. You don't expect us to believe that. You go up on Wikipedia, the encyclopedia, the commission website. They list a lot of the more prominent members, and there you'll find, of course, Alan Greenspan and Paul Volcker and Dick Cheney. When you tell people about this, Patrick, what sort of response do you get? Don't their eyes sort of glaze over and say, it couldn't be true? I don't want to hear about it because
to deal with the subject of that. We never talked about this, but I know your medical and family members and friends and stuff. And when somebody is facing the subject, just doesn't want to come up. Even with family and friends, it doesn't want to come up. If you know you have a terminal illness, people just don't want to talk about it. You know, that's pretty much the reaction now. The people that don't know about this before they hear it, well, if it's true, we're all doomed anyway. To the truth, you know, like the politicians about it, and basically they just sweep you off to the side as being one of the lunatic friends. One of those nutcases. Well, this is there's no conspiracy here, it's wide open. A conspiracy by definition has to have a criminal intent and not be hidden. There's nothing conspiratorial about what we're talking about here at all. It's the handwriting is all over the place. Kotlikoff wrote this article. I didn't. What kind of proof do people need to understand where these people are coming from?
And for our listeners, of course, remember, Kotlikoff is a professor at Boston University.
He's a prominent. He's a very prominent and very much in the sense of a guy. He's not on our side. He is a global economist. What they need to prepare for in order for
how can people get copies of a book? Don't you have it posted on your webpage?
It is. And they would click on the news commentary link. See all the news commentaries that we have from recent history, and the one that they want is right on the top. They'll see it right there. Is the U.S. bankrupt?
All right, fine. And what about the information on the Trilateral Commission?
Well, there's a lot of information on our site about the Trilateral Commission. Virtually wraps in the theme of how the Trilateral Commission is evolved.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stephen Liberty. Our guest, of course, is Patrick Wood from the August. And once again, Patrick, I want you to tell people how they can get in touch with you, and get the information that covers the Trilateral Commission, this recent paper by Professor Kiplikoff, talking about the fact that America is bankrupt, and then the information on this organization that you've studied for so long.
AugustReview.com. Commission and the things that they've been involved in, like NAFTA, like national security. Oh gosh, 30 years. Stuff that we'll keep chair for reading and stuff, but except that somebody would read. Just trying to make it clear.
There's actually a book called Trilateralists Over Washington. What to do with that, or was that just sort of an update of what you years earlier?
That was an update of what we had previously done, and he did that in the 1990s. That was prior to his passing in 2002. And it basically covered the same information with a little bit of update into the 1990s.
And of course, really great, great research at Hoover Institute, which most people think is conservative. But of course, it's not really conservative, or it pays lip service to conservatism. But when he began to talk about the financing of communism, states and how we had funded communism in Russia, and how we funded communism all during the Vietnam War, and we're helping communist China. Why, of course, Hoover Institute got rid of him in a hurry. The last thing that he can allow is for the American people to realize we've created the best enemy money could buy. You must have talked to him about that.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the only, except that that the Hoover Institution had forced him out. They basically forced him out by refusing to publish his works. They didn't ostracize him out or put physical threats on him or anything. They just all of a sudden, they just said, well, you know what, your manuscripts are not worthy to be published, so we're not going to publish them. That's how you force a scholar out of a an institution like that. They live on the royalties off their books.
Well, of course, he told me that when he came back from testifying before the Republican National Commission, a convention in 1992, and because that was during the Vietnam War, and he went to one of the committees there, and he explained how we were financing the North Vietnamese. He told me when he got back to the to his office at the Hoover Institute, his name wasn't on the door anymore of his office. The telephone was disconnected. That's rather disconnected.
Yeah, that's a pretty discouraging thing. Well, that was a certain how myself and Tony actually got together. We both ended up at a gold conference down in New Orleans. He was already out, and he was there as a guest speaker. And we ran into each other by accident in a cafeteria at the at a table wherever there's a chair. So we don't mind sitting here with this gentleman today. I said, well, what can I say? I'm hungry. And so I sat down, and here sitting across from me was Tony Sutton. I didn't know him from Adam. And we started talking, and we realized that talking, after 30 minutes or so, that we had a body that was coming from the same people in the same situations. And we realized that we needed each other at that point because had major academic credentials. Can't simply keep quiet. We have to write about what we know.
Trilateral. That was the trilateral. What was the title of your two?
We started out with a newsletter called the Trilateral Observer. That was the very first thing we did, and from that we wrote trilaterals over one. We did about probably a little over 300 radio and TV talk shows around the country. Tons of public speaking, all over the country. It was quite a whirlwind. But when Ronald Reagan was elected, all of our constituents walked away from us and said, "Hey, we're saved."
Yeah, without realizing, of course, that Ronald Reagan was controlled.
His vice president, H.W. Bush, was a member of the Trilateral Commission,
and one of George Herbert Walker Bush's. Almost killed Ronald Reagan, he pretty well turned things over to George Bush. And of course, people don't understand that Reagan was a figurehead for the Trilateral Commission, just exactly as the George figurehead for the Trilateral Commission who runs things as Dick Cheney. You get pretty a lot more truth out of a Saturday Night Live commentary out of ABC. And they will often the White House. It's just a joke. It's not a joke at all. I mean, there are many articles about it. Makes the decisions and George W. does what he's told to do.
Talking about power, it's an interesting family. His wife is a member of the Trilateral Commission in her own right. That both are powerful organizations.
360th of the world, then.
Well, I know, and you have to think that Bill Clinton and Hillary, Bill was a president, and Hillary's now a senator. That doesn't hold a candle to having being man and wife being both members of the Trilateral Commission. These guys obviously are tremendously influential in the world of globalization. And they are carrying out their policies with just lockstep branch right now. And what's really the most frightening thing that I see on this is we saw impunity with Jimmy Carter in 1970. But what's happening today makes that look like, I don't know what, it just it pales by comparison.
Well, I'll never forget, of course, when what happened to me. Possible Jimmy Carter has increased the national debt $100 billion 4 years in office, $200 billion brings us to $1 trillion. Do you know how much $1 trillion is? And I'll never forget those wonderful speeches. And of course, what nobody ever talks about is that Ronald Reagan increased the national debt $200 billion every year he was in office. He actually increased the national debt over $1.7 trillion when he came into the office. We had $1 trillion national debt. We had a $2.7 trillion national debt. Yet Ronald Reagan was conservative and against big government.
And every Republican spent their Democratic counterparts and W. Bush today.
And it was true with Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton. George W. Bush. I mean, the Republicans were in the majority in the Senate and the presidency. This is the biggest spending administration we've ever had, and moving as rapidly towards bankruptcy. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. And I think their spending policies right now are like they're like the behavior of a desperate man who knows he's going bankrupt. And what often happens, people can ask their banker about this, when somebody knows they're going down, when they're going headed towards bankruptcy and they can't possibly get out of it, they have a card they can get their hand on and they go out. They just go out and buy things, you know. Throw away things for themselves. Tap that into the debt that they go bankrupt. Tactic of it. And how much more our government at this point spending like drunken sailors, knowing that the day of reckoning is probably just around the corner and we're just about to be, you know, officially declare bankruptcy.
And, of course, you know what's amazing, Patrick, is that they're buying up so many nations. We are selling off our roads and our bridges and our water sources, and we're selling so much amidst the basic infrastructure of the United States to other countries, and the average American has no idea what's going on.
No. Speaking of the foreigners, the question there is, what will the international banking community replace the dollar with to satisfy these people? Like China, for instance, and Japan, they own just tens and hundreds of billions of dollars of treasury bills and stuff. You know, they're not going to just lie down and say, well, hey, we really don't need it. We'll just tear them up and, you know, you can forget it. They're going to insist that something is given in their place if the dollar all of a sudden goes south. That's a $64 question. I'm not going to answer it here, but you know there's going to be trouble in River City down the road here.
And I think there's only a matter of time before they have exchange controls as far as our currency is concerned. You're not going to be able to either bring money into this country or take money out of the country. They've got to control the money of the American people, and by controlling their money, they control the American people.
Or they need to replace the dollar altogether with a new regional currency.
Maybe the Amero.
In terms of the Amero, for instance.
Why don't you tell our listeners about the Amero?
Well, this is a tough one. A Canadian globalist writer suggested some years ago that a new regional currency would be necessary to administrate trade between the three countries, Mexico, America, the United States, and Canada. And he proposed the name of that currency might be Euro. That's logical because, you know, in Europe you have the Euro, and so it makes sense in the Amero. But that he was the one that first came up with it, and now that the North American Union is very quickly by the that Bush has been carrying on with Mexico and Canada, there will indeed have to be a currency proposed soon to integrate the region into a cohesive political unit like the European Union. And the most likely crisis that will leave the American people begging for a new currency will be the destruction of the dollar. And if they trot out something like the Amero at that point, the Americans at least are going to be receiving that with great joy, because it might give them some value versus no value.
And of course, people have forgotten that it was in Argentina just about 3 or 4 years ago, when one night people went to bed and everything was fine, and they woke up the next morning and the value of their currency declined 75%.
Yes.
People say that couldn't happen here. Why? Yes. Well, why? It just couldn't happen in America. And I would like to ask, if God is just, his justice will not sleep forever. What better way to get America, the attention of the American people? Allow the collapse of our currency. And believe me, if this article is true, Professor Kotlikoff, and I think it is, why we're talking about the collapse of America's currency. He says, and this is written for the Federal Reserve Board of St. Louis. So, again, I wanted to tell your listeners, or our listeners, how they can get to your website, and they can then link to Professor Kotlikoff's article.
www.augustreview.com. And click on News Commentary and look for the article at the top called Is the U.S. Bankrupt?
All right. Well, if somebody's out in the listening audience would like to give us a call, we could have time for a couple of quick calls. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And for our listeners out there, you know, ignore what you're hearing today at your own peril, because I believe this is absolutely true, and even though I've never met Patrick, I have the greatest respect for him, and of course he's done a great deal of work trying to expose this little clique of people, and believe me, they protect themselves. They have their money and things that will not be destroyed when the value of the currency of the average American is simply liquidated.
Yes, indeed.
And anything, of course, which is in dollar-denominated assets, annuities, bank deposits, CDs, certainly anything of this sort, you know, can simply be destroyed overnight, as, of course, the value of the currency is destroyed. Mike is calling from Santa Cruz. Mike, does you have a question?
Yeah, I love the program, but I got to ask a question. Your guest used the two terms in the first half hour. One was the American dollar, and the other. My question is, we don't have an American dollar. We have no Federal Reserve notes. That, how the reserve?
Well, Patrick?
You're absolutely right. And the reserve note is issued by the Federal Reserve, and that is the means by which they're in control of the issuance and the non-issuance of our currency. What we could do as a nation would be to revoke that privilege from them to issue currency, merely just call it null and void, and allow the U.S. Congress to take its rightful place and issue currency itself in its place, and remove the Federal Reserve from the transaction and mechanism altogether, and basically just give them a one-way plane ticket to somewhere.
Mike, at one time I can remember when printed on every Federal Reserve note was a statement, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful currency at any branch of the Federal Reserve System or the United States Treasury. And then one day we woke up and we looked at our paper money, and it just said, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. It's not redeemable in anything other than the integrity of Bill Clinton. All right, fine. Anything else, Mike?
Well, regarding the term null and void, isn't that how they declared they got rid of the Treasury note? They just decided it was, they got in the ascendancy by political assassination of presidents, et cetera, and declared the Treasury note null and void.
All right, of course. So we've had some very, very strange assassinations, and of course, when there was a trial of the Spotlight, a newspaper, sued by a gentleman who they had accused of being involved with the assassination, and the jury found that the government was really behind the assassination of John Kennedy. Not a word in the media when Martin Luther King's family sued the government for their involvement in the murder of Martin Luther King. Word in the controlled media. Hey, we got a Frank calling from Salinas. Hi, Frank. Do you have a question for our guest?
What if you were just a small investor, or what companies would it be wise to buy? Like, big international corporations, or you know, what countries are really solid, have solid currencies, and probably will have for a long time.
All right, what are your thoughts on that, Patrick?
Well, that's a tough one. I hate to follow along with globalism. The richest man in the world recently, like 6 months ago, euro for the denomination. Likely, the euro is going to be surviving well past the dollar, as far as something that can be used as a medium exchange in commerce and so on. You ought to probably think that the United States for a while. In any case, think in terms of investments, not stocks, not bonds. I used to be, but I don't pretend to be anymore.
All right, fine. Frank, I hope that helps you.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. We're going to be back here in just a moment or two to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty, but start making your preparations. Well, Patrick, we've got 3 minutes to... So what would you like to leave, what thought would you like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I think Dr. Stan is that, you know, the first way to brace, to get ready for brace yourself is clearly to shore where you stand with, you know, with the only, and I know you talked about this, the rules, and to pay attention to them. And if we're going to, in the, you know, the moral, take it through, what's it's going to take a tremendous amount of grit, and that kind of grit only comes from a solid spiritual base. And that's what people ought to do first. They need to worry about their money, they need to worry about you know, their families and stuff like that. That should come after that. It should come God first, family second, country third. And you know, that's probably about the best advice anybody can give somebody right now. Yeah. If you haven't been to church recently, or if you haven't paid any attention to what's going on in the world, and you think, gosh, it sounds like Bible prophecy kind of stuff, you better make a mad dash to get a Bible and start reading it, and find a good church, get into it, find a network of people that you can collaborate with and that you can commiserate with and talk with about things, and again. Nobody's going to escape the one thing we need to understand. There's no pain of what's going to happen in the United States. And, you know, we need to get together. Whether we cause it or not is immaterial, but we're in it together. And we'll need to be leaning on each other as best we can when it really hits the fan.
With you more, of course, we keep telling our spiritual battle being played out in a political, ideological, cultural, educational battlefield, but never lose sight of the fact that this is a spiritual battle. Believe me, the people in the Trilateral Commission don't. In fact, they have a logo, and that logo, and you can see it at their website at trilateral.org. It's a circle made up of three sixes joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. I wonder why they picked that logo. Three
yep.
sixes, upside down, broken cross. Ladies and gentlemen, open your eyes and look and see what's happening. Patrick Wood, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you, sir. I mentioned I'm looking forward to having you again real soon.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's been a pleasure. Well,
bye-bye.
Actually, it hasn't been. But I'll be back again, I'm sure.
God bless. Bye-bye. Well, that was Patrick Wood of the August Review. A long time. Patrick has to say, pull down the material he has there. He has life with a lot of important information you need to read. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest, of course, has been Patrick Wood, and we recommend you go to his website, review.com. That's August Review. And pull down the essay by Professor Kip the Coffin, if it's true. Let's get the information out. Now, as we said in the last hour, if you want to get our view of what's happening financially and what you should be doing, why, let me suggest our talk on the financial tsunami. It's available in video or just, and of course, it comes with the syllabus. It explains M1, 2, M3, going on at the Federal. And about the Americans' gold all of these things I really don't understand, because they don't understand. They don't want you to have a military system. They have raped this country of its wealth. When the currency collapses, the individual is going to be left simply helpless. And we've done it to other countries, but there is such a thing. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And because we haven't been unconcerned when we've done this to people in other nations, I believe God is going to bring retribution on this country. Get the information and then help us. And then understand the spiritual forces that energize this. Again, the the syllabus by the same. To understand what's going on in Iraq, it all came about. Our talk, Iraq, the end told, comes with the syllabus. I have to get the syllabus. If you want global development, the video. Well, of course, you can get my talk on planned population reduction. And we don't have a syllabus there. We do actually have a monograph, though. You can pull it down from our website, the Population Control Agenda monograph. Or we'll, if you buy anything, and is available out there. And one of these days, updating. We have a which is our video tapes and tape set and other information on population control. These people know exactly. If you want to understand fluoride, we have a talk, The Hidden Agenda. The population control, you'll read the writings, say of Bertrand Russell, who have a black plague sweep the world every generation. We got permission from the people who hold the copyright to his book to read the water fluoridation. And if you doubt that, you go to the website www.eu280.org. That's www.NTEU280.org. Pull down their website. Take it to your doctor and say, why are you poisoning the people? Why don't you do the study to find out? Why do you listen blindly to the people who run your medical societies? Look at the mess they've made of medicine. Do you really want to trust them with the lives of your people? And, of course, you need to get information on how we're poisoning our children with of course, the thimerosal, the mercury, and they've chickened out. Why we're pushing children throughout the rest of the world. And Warren Buffett or vaccines that we wouldn't get children to children throughout the world. Thimerosal cuts down our fertility by the next generation. And of course, both Warren. Population control. Do they want to give back children to the world? Well, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to remember our telephone number, 1-800-5-8927. 1-800-5-448-927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty.